Someone once asked, if only you knew,
wow,
how short life would be.
Yep.
What would you do? What would they say when God called you home? What would they embrace once you were gone? I hope they would see what I've done in my life, who I cared for, how I survived. I hope they'd say she with all of her heart, she loved.
Hey, yeah, come on.
Everyone she believed in, she loved. Oh, she loved.
Hey.
She loved the Lord and served all her.
God has given us to be the head of our home.
Amen.
If we were doing what we were supposed to do, be doing, then the ladies would not have to do as much as they're doing. The success of a nation depends on the mother. It is amazing to me, it always has been. You watch any kind of sporting event, these great big old NFL football players are interviewed, and the first person that they always want to thank is their mom. And I sit there and think, what about the poor old daddy? He had something to do with this as well. But they want to thank the mom. They want to thank the mom. The success of a nation depends on the mom. Theodore Roosevelt put it this way. The mother is one supreme asset of national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman, businessman, artist, or the scientist. George Washington, mother, was a patriotic and religious woman, and her son became the father of our country. Susanna Wesley was a tremendous Christian mother to her 19 children. Now let me say that again, to her 19 children. It's a God wonder that she didn't kill 18 out of the 19. But she was a wonderful mother. She always found time to teach them to love God and spend time in His Word. So here on this day, it is set aside to honor our mothers, and especially our godly mothers. And so this morning I want you to help me. We're going to talk about the mothers for a moment, but everything I'm about to say applies to everybody in this room here this morning. What are the characteristics of a miracle mother? What are the characteristics? Of all the mothers of the Bible, there's one that stands out in my mind. She lived in a day when the nation of Israel was in a deplorable state. People were doing their own thing, doing it their own way, really could care less about God. The nation leaders had failed, and the nation was in a deplorable state. Gideon and Samson were nothing more than memories, and all the other heroes were dead, and the prophets were unborn. And the community was absolutely sick. Now, I'm going to tell you, they were just had completely turned away from God. But in a town that was a wide spot in the road, 15 miles north of Jerusalem, lived a lady who God was preparing to be the mother of His prophet. And her name was Hannah. Let me stop right here and remind everybody in this room, listen very carefully. God uses little people in little places of this world to carry on His divine purpose. God knows who you are, and God knows where you live, and God knows everything there is about you. And can I tell you something? God wants to use you for His glory. Every one of us. If God wouldn't want to use us, we wouldn't be still here. God wants to use us for His glory. And so in this little spot in the road, God had a lady by the name of Hannah, who I believe was a miracle mom.
Amen.
Now keep in mind what it means, a miracle mom. It's amazing how a mom seems to work a miracle. A child can come in with a skipped knee, and mom can look at that knee, and that child begins to stop crying just at the touch of the mom. You understand? Moms are miracles, and moms are representatives of God. The greatest miracle worker that has ever lived or ever will live is Christ Himself. And can I remind you that on this Sunday morning, Mother's Day 2012, our God is still working miracles.
Amen, brother.
If God was not working miracles, some of you would not be in this room today. Aren't you glad that God is still a miracle working God?
Amen.
You say, well, what's He done for me? Your heart's beating. What's He done for me? You could have been killed in a car accident. What's he done for me? In the midst of all of our sickness, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And can I remind you that the greatest miracle of all time is when Jesus Christ tugs at a heart and a man, woman, boy, or girl prays a simple prayer and Jesus moves in their heart. He is still working miracles today.
Amen.
He's still there working miracles. And he's using moms of God to do it. Now, what are the characteristics of a miracle mother? 1 Samuel 27, verse 27, I'm going to read first. I want to show you some things. What happened in this miracle mother? Now, listen to this. For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Now, look at verse 28. Therefore also I have led him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord that. What are the characteristics? Here's the first characteristic. Listen, Mom. And listen, Dad. Everybody ought to have this characteristic. She communicated with God. She knew what it was to have a personal God to talk to. She knew that if she was going to talk to anyone, it had better be God. And so she could go to God and pour out her petitions to God. And the good news is this, God is always listening.
Amen.
Mothers, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Many of you say, preacher, would you pray? And many of you run and go to Tim and say, would you pray for my child? And we're glad to do that. But I'll tell you one thing. The greatest attribute in that child's life is to see their mom and dad praying for themselves.
Amen, brother.
Greatest attribute is to hear mom crying out your name in prayer. I walked in Riverside Baptist Church across Holly's down many times in my wayward condition. And I'd hear mom and that little handful of people at the altar on a Sunday night. And I'd hear my mom cry out my name to God. Please be with Rod. He doesn't know what he's doing. Can I tell you something? I'm standing here today because I had a mom who went to the altar on my behalf.
Hey.
I want to remind you, moms, we ought to pray. Let me tell you, dads, we ought to pray. We ought to pray. God still answers prayer. God still hears his children when they pray. And Hannah was a lady who had begged God and communicated with God. And God was always there listening to her. Can I remind you, you may not can get me on the phone, but you sure can get God. You may not can find me sometime in the wee hours of the night, but you sure can find God.
Amen.
And I remind you, church, it's God who you need more than me sometimes.
Amen.
She communicated. How's your communication with God? And I'll tell you one thing. We ought not just pray when things are bad. We ought to pray when things are good.
Amen.
And when things are going good and people being saved and lives being changed and children doing pretty good and grades are good in school, we're to thank God during the good days. If you thank God during the good days, it'll help you be prepared when the bad days come.
Amen.
So she communicated to God. Now how did she pray? Verse 10 reminds me in this same chapter how she prayed fervently. That she was in bitterness of soul. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sorely. Even before Samuel had come, she prayed. She prayed. She had been denied the crowning glory of motherhood. And so she asked God, would he help her? Would he do something miraculous in her life? But they belittled her and laughed at her. But she prayed. Let people laugh at us when we pray if they want to. I'll guarantee you one thing. God still hears our prayers in spite of what people may think.
Amen.
People say, you're too old-fashioned to have faith in God that you can't see and pray to somebody that you've never seen. No, it's not old-fashioned. It's just taking God at his word.
Amen, brother.
She was just a simple woman, but she could get in touch with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mothers, before that child was born,
you've got to pray.
When that child is born, you've got to pray. As that child gets into childhood, you've got to pray. When that child reaches teenage years, you've got to pray, 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 and pray. Your prayers never stop. You know something? Matters not how old they may get in this life. Your son, your daughter still needs your prayers.
Amen.
She prayed further. Verse 12 tells me that she prayed also faithfully. She just continued, and it came to pass as she continued praying. And what I like this, in verse 10, if you'll notice something, it says she prayed unto the Lord. Verse 12 says, and she prayed before the Lord. She knew exactly who to talk to. She didn't go to some priest. She went to the Lord himself. Let me remind you today that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. But God himself cares about our needs.
Amen, brother.
She just kept praying. Be faithful in your prayer life. Be faithful in your prayer life. Don't ever stop praying. And she was begging God for a son. And she kept on praying. Kept on praying. Kept on praying. When Dolores and ourselves was trying to have children, it seemed like we weren't going to be able to have children. But the church I pastored began to pray that Dolores would get pregnant. And she did with Steve. And then it wasn't many months after that, after Stephen was born, that she got pregnant again with Blake. I went to the pulpit and I said, listen, I appreciate your prayers, but stop praying. Stop praying. You know something? God answers prayers.
Amen.
To those who pray. Faithfully. Has your child seen you pray? I'm not talking about the blessing over the food. I'm talking about prayer. Mark their lives, moms. Mark their lives, dad, by letting them know what prayer is all about. She prayed. She communicated with God fervently and faithfully. According to verse 20, she prayed fortunately. God blessed her. When it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying what? Because I have asked him of the Lord. Just a simple woman. I tried in my mind, I like visual things, I tried in my mind to picture what Hannah must have looked like. I think she was probably a simple-minded woman. I don't think she had a lot of education. Her clothing probably was plain, nothing fancy. Her name was not written among the wealthy or the elite. She wasn't on the high society pages. But she could get in touch with God. God heard her. She prayed and God listened.
Amen, brother.
I'm going to make one statement here, and you probably might get upset with me because I don't use pulpit for political endeavors and political means, and you say it's none of your business and all this kind of stuff, but I will say this. Moms, dads, church leaders, you and I have better pray harder than we've ever prayed for our nation.
Amen. Amen, brother.
We have a president to stand up and condone same-sex marriage.
Amen. Amen.
You may disagree with me. That's all right. You say, where do you get that from? I base what I believe on the Bible.
Amen.
So if you've got a problem with the Bible, and you've got a problem with me, and all that's going to do is open up. I had a preacher to send me a text the other day and asked me, said, I've got a question for you. Ron, you've been passing along to me. And here's what's his question. Do you think the day will ever come when they'll try to force us ministers to marry gays and lesbians? And I said, I don't doubt. I don't doubt. The leadership and roles who believe that away, they'll send down where you discriminate if you do that. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll just have to discriminate. I'm not getting involved.
Amen, brother. Amen.
God can't bless you when you turn your eyes off of Him. Moms, we better pray. Dads, we better pray. It matters not how old your child gets. Matter of fact, I think some of you agree with me, the older your child gets, the more you pray for them. They stay out late at night when they're not supposed to, you pray. When that phone rings and scares you, you pray. Don't ever stop praying. Hannah prayed. God heard her prayers. She had communication with God. Ladies and men, have your children seen you pray. There's a second thing that I think made her a miracle mom. Not only did she have communication to God, this is this. She was committed to God. A mother who is not committed to God, don't get me wrong, can be a good mother, but that mother does really have the best interests of her child.
Amen.
Pray all you want, but you ought to be committed to God. They ought not hear you pray if you're not committed to God. The greatest lesson that's ever been taught does not come from a Sunday school class. The greatest lesson that has ever been taught does not come from a preacher standing behind a pulpit. The greatest lesson that is ever taught comes from a mom and a dad who not only pray and communicate with God, but the children know they're committed to God as well.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And what I'm talking about commitment is this. You're not a fair weather Christian. You're committed when things are good. You're committed when things are bad. You're committed when everything, the sun is shining, and you're committed when the storms come. Can I remind you of this? Even when the devil fights, God is still good.
Amen.
And even though the devil may think he has won for a season, can I remind the devil that God still is the victor?
Amen.
Understand something. Just be committed to God. Committed to God. Let me show you this. She was committed in her word, in his words. Verse 11 says this, of this same chapter. Here's what it says, verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget me, but will give thy handmaid a man child, then I will give, that's what it says, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And here's what she said. Lord, I make this commitment to you. If you'll give me a child, I want a child. I want a boy. God, if you'll do that, I'm going to give him back to you to be used for your service.
Amen.
She didn't say, God, when he reaches 50 years of age, I'm going to give him to you. No. She said, God, if you'll grant this, I commit him unto you. She said that he'd be a Nazarite. That meant that he would partake of no produce of the vine. That meant that symbolic of no carnal pleasure. He would take no part in mourning for the dead because holier duties took first place. No razor would come upon his head as a sign that he did not follow the usual customs of life. He did not just follow traditions. He would be devoted to the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies. She promised to God, not an animal or a large sum of money. She promised to God her son.
stuff. When God blesses us with a child, we ought to give that child back to God.
Amen.
Think about this. Child has lived to be 3 years of old. She brings 3 bullets. One for the Thanksgiving offering, sin offering, and peace offering. And she brings her son. She's going to keep her word. How many of us make vows to God and never keep them? There's no telling how many people I have stood with in the ERs of our hospitals who said, if you'll pray that I'll get better, if you'll pray I won't die, I'll guarantee you one thing. I'll be the most faithful person in the church that you've ever seen in your life. And we pray prayers, God miraculously touches their bodies and bring healing, and they're still not in church today. How many people make commitments to God that they never follow through with? Here was a little old lady who communicated with God, and she knew God, and so therefore she committed to God, and when she made that commitment to God, for let me remind you of this, you give your child to God, God will take care of that child. I can see her gathering up his clothes, getting all the provisions for the journey. Her heart is so heavy, she probably glanced at him and listened to his childish muttering. She would miss him dearly. She began to turn her silent the moment it came. And Hannah gave her little boy to the Lord. You know something? Be committed to your word. If you tell God you're going to do something, do what you told God you're going to do.
Amen.
But it's one last thing. Committed to word. But she was committed to worship. She worshiped her Lord. Verse 19, the same chapter says this. That she worship. She rose up in the morning early, worshiped before the Lord, and returned. She rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Don't tell your child how important worship is if you're not involved in worship yourself. She was committed to worship. And you know what happened because of that? You know what happened because of that? Because that child saw something in her. Look at the last verse of that chapter, verse 28 through 26. This chapter, same chapter, 26. Very clear. Therefore also I have lived unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lived to the Lord. And here's what it says. And he worshiped the Lord back. Why did he go worship the Lord? He'd seen his mom worship the Lord. Somebody is always looking at you. She communicated to God, and she was committed to God. Don't expect your children to love the church if you don't. We're shaping our next generation of church folks by our communication. And our community. What about mom, dad? Where do we fit into this puzzle? Stand with me.